covenanted with God, and God promised him that his son would have the same God for their God. And this covenant that God made with Abraham was fulfilled fully in Jesus Christ. And he just promised that we would be his people, that it applies to us, could only happen through Jesus Christ, because in general we're not of the blood lineage of Abraham as individuals. So this is the essence of what kind of heart I'd like to bring, and a feeling of what I'd like to say is, so I know whom I have believed. And, you know, brought that song this morning, and believe it or not, that was what the Lord laid on my heart to sing, you know, after the message was over. You see, that hit, that's okay, because I'm glad that the Lord confirmed it that way. I'd just like you to open your hearts up to what I have to share with you. It's something that underlies much of the Old and New Testament. It's a broad subject, and probably take a long time to do it justice, so there's only going to be two major points I'm going to bring this morning, unless something else happens between now and then. The major point that I want to bring, of course, is that Jesus Christ is the promised seed of Abraham. And the second major point that I want to bring is who we are because we are sons of God through Jesus Christ, and what our God is because of that here on earth. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 1:20. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I start with 18. But as God is true, our word toward you is not your and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, under the glory of God by us. Hallelujah. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, under the glory of God by us. So in him, all the covenant promises, all the promises of God are yea and amen. Jesus Christ did anything that God told his people to do, anything that God told the children of Abraham to do to fulfill God's covenant with Abraham, Jesus Christ did. He walked in that covenant. Matthew 1:1. Many people feel that Matthew is written to the Jewish Christians, to Jews, the sons of Abraham. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And that was an important point, that he was the son of David and that he was the son of Abraham, because God had covenanted with David, that David would have a seed following in his footsteps, and God had covenanted with Abraham, that Abraham would have a seed. And that seed is Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, famous passage in this discussion, Galatians 3:16-17, especially. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seed as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot be denied, that it should make the promise of none effect. Jesus Christ is the promised seed of Abraham in the God promising his son. The Hebrew passages that tell us in the Old Testament about Abraham's covenant with God, the word seed there in the English Bible, in Hebrew, is a collective noun, a singular collective noun, just like it is in English. We say seed and we say seed in one plural and one singular, depending on the usage, you see, depending on the context. The Hebrew does not put it down either. First of all, in English, we use the plural. Plural construction of seeds. When you send it to a plant of garden, I wrote about a package of pumpkin seeds, and that's That's the plural form. But that's not usually Hebrew either, except two places in the Bible, Daniel 1, verse 12, and Daniel 1, verse 16, where it's talking about vegetables. And that's the only time the Hebrew language uses the plural form to refer to vegetables. So the singular collective noun, food, the equivalent word in English, in Hebrew, the context tells you whether it's referring to a plural number or a singular number. And as we look through the covenant promises to Abraham, there are times when God's speaking to him concerning all of his children as a group. And then there are times when the Holy Spirit meant Jesus Christ. But you see, just like much of the Old Testament, it was veiled in a degree to the people, and they didn't see all the light at that time when the promises were given. But God was going to unfold those promises, and they become more and more glorious as God added to the word, and then the fulfillment came. And of course, we're right in the same context when we talk about the fulfillment. Because if we read through chapter 3 of Galatians, and we come to chapter 4, and we go to chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." God did a wonderful thing for Abraham to come down and talk to him and to make a covenant with him that people made with each other. Men like Jacob and Laban and the people of the day made covenants with each other. And Solomon made the covenant with the death of an animal, symbolizing the solemnity of it and the firmness of the covenant, that it could not be changed. So to speak, over the people's dead bodies, the covenant would have to be saved. That's, in essence, what say. And God spoke to Abraham as if Abraham was his equal in a sense, and as if he was just a friend of his, that he was covenanting with. And so God did a wonderful thing to allow Abraham to enter into this place with God. And the glorious truth of the matter is that God says to us in Jesus Christ that we are allowed to do the same thing. And it's not surprising when we realize when we look at Genesis 15, why this is. Let's look at Genesis 15. It's one of the most awesome passages to me in the whole Old Testament. The passage there that describes the Mount Sinai when it was smoking and thundering and lightning and the people couldn't come near, they'd die. That's an awesome passage. But this passage, I think, myself, personally, is even more awesome and gives even greater fear of God to my heart. Verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Adonai Yahweh, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, no one born in my house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Now obviously there the word is plural. Notice that up above there it's singular. And verse 6, And he believed in Yahweh, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of all the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Adonai Yahweh, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtledove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided him not. So we see here that he took a sacrifice. He killed these animals and cut them in 2 pieces and laid them apart. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto him, Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they will serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass, when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Now, in the literal, probably be better rendered, a smoking fire and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Kenites and the Girgashites and the Girgashites. Now, the reason this is such an awful, awesome thing is that God is covenanting with Abraham, and he's expecting Abraham, who believes, who God's trusting Abraham, to be faithful, to be perfect before God and to walk faithful. And not the step God is assuming he's going to be, is just saying, you know, he's making his covenant with Abraham as if he's already righteous and perfect on the basis of those, the shed blood of those sacrifices. And Abraham just obeyed and did it. Now, we know it's pointing to Jesus Christ. The reason we can approach God through Jesus Christ is because of the shed blood of this man who covered for the iniquity of the second party, so to speak. Because Abraham was not perfect, and we're not perfect, but God talked to him as if he was perfect, as if he was God's friend. So the blood there shed points to Jesus to be that seed. And let's consider it. Let's look at Genesis 17 and just quick like read through another time in God spoke to Abraham. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Now I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Now that's a phrase that still sounds like. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. This is God's promise. Now, God's talking about Abraham's natural lineage through Isaac. Now, Isaac was a type of Jesus Christ, you see. We know that, obviously, most of us from other passages here in Genesis. And this seed that was coming is going to be given through a supernatural birth. Genesis 22. Well, now let's talk about Isaac. I'll just skip over the fact that he's born. He's born because God allowed Sarah to conceive and Abraham, and they had a son. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now that should be test Abraham. He said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abram rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abram said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I am allowed to go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abram his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire in the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abram said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abram built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. He said, Abram, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now, Isaac was the seed of Abraham. And God promised that he would give Abraham a seed. And it would be a miracle for Abraham to have a seed. And God did it. And here's what the miracle was, and God required it of Abraham again. Abraham believed God could raise him from the dead, he just says it. Now, what we see is that Isaac is too the seed of Abraham, but that there's a greater seed of Abraham. That Isaac is too the heir of all that Abraham owned, but there's a greater heir of all that Abraham owned. God promised Abraham a world, it says in Hebrews 11, or the world in Hebrews 11. And Isaac was a type of the one who would fully fulfill this promise of what Abraham had received as his inheritance. And Jesus is alluded to not only by Isaac's supernatural birth, but also by Samson's supernatural birth, and also by the birth of a child in Isaiah chapters 6, 7, and 8. There's three times at least, and those are probably ones that stick out most in my mind, of how God alluded to this seed coming through three supernatural births. Now, I'm not sure that the third one is supernatural birth, but anyway, at the birth of a child, alluded to, a seed was coming. You see, these things weren't real clear. It wasn't put down like Abraham, Isaac was not yet final seed. You know? It wasn't put down really stamped that way. We can see it now, and Paul tells us by the Holy Spirit in Galatians 3 that it's true. But it's like, it's something that's coming, slowly through the fog, so to speak. God didn't just dump it all on them all at once. It was like a gradual thing. The dispensation wasn't yet to give it. And another passage is in Genesis 27. None of the wrong scripture there. 26. Verse 2. And Yahweh appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which thou shalt tell to Yah. Oh, this is to Isaac. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give them unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Okay, now, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Guess what? God told Abraham that in Genesis 22:18. He said exactly that. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice after he sacrificed Isaac. After he began to go through sacrificing Isaac. You know what that shows us? It shows us that Isaac wasn't that seed that all the nations of the earth were going to be blessed in, and that you see, now I realize that the context of 26:4 is talking about a multitude of seeds. But the seed there is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the seed of Isaac, too. Okay? Now, what happened to the Jews? What happened to them, anyway? We know that they were children of this planet. Well, what was going on? How come Jesus was, telling the Pharisees that they were the sons of the devil and weren't sons of Abraham? What's going on here? I thought the promise was to the sons of Abraham. How come these people, how come Jesus said they weren't sons of Abraham anymore? What went on here? Let's look at John 8, verse 33, certainly. Okay. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, in verse 32. And this is one, blessed be unto those Jews that believe on him. As you continue my word, believe my disciples indeed. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How shall you shall be made free? Now, that was kind of a false statement because they'd been in bondage in Egypt. And they were in bondage right there in Rome, but their pride just kind of looked like, their pride was kind of getting away from telling the truth. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a sinner of sin." See, God knew that when Jesus came, he was going to be saving people from sin, not from the Roman government. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that in which you have seen with your father. And he's alluding to the devil, I'm sure. But I answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And Jesus is not contradicting himself. Verse 37 says, I know that you are Abraham's seed. Now Jesus knew who their father was. It wasn't really in his mind or their mind or anybody else's mind or ours either. He knows that they are descendants of Abraham. But in verse 39, Jesus said, if you are Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. There are two kinds of children here. Obviously, there's two kinds of children. One group are the children of Abraham through Isaac. And the other group are the children of Abraham through the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ. And Jesus was saying, at the rate you people are going, you are going to reject me, and you will not be born of the seed of Abraham. Therefore, you won't be Abraham's children. So you've got to go through the seed of Abraham to be Abraham's children. They were rejecting the promised seed, and they were rejecting their part in the covenant of Abraham. God knew that he was going to add to that covenant. God added to the covenant of Sinai. God knew that it was going to be, they were going to have to go on. Jesus said that in verse 31. They said, Jesus, to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Jesus was telling them they had to keep going on in what God was going to have them do. And at the end of the scripture we read about Abraham, God told him more every time God talked to him, didn't he? And Abraham was expected. One time he said, you're going to have a child. One time he said, be thou perfect. See, it was like there was a going on thing, a continuing thing, an everlasting covenant. And it was modified as it went on. And it was modified at Sinai. And here was a time of modification coming. Now, God tested Abraham by requiring him to have a blood sacrifice. And by requiring him to sacrifice the thing that he loved most. And God knew how to find out if Abraham's heart had faith in it. Now, if God required that of the Jews at the time that Jesus came, it wouldn't be a sure test to find out if they had the faith of Abraham in their heart. Because they'd been sacrificing lambs and bullocks all the way along, and that was just part of their religion. And it wouldn't do anything to find out if they had the faith of Abraham to ask him to sacrifice a bullock and a 3-year-old bullock and 3-year-old lamb and 3-year-old ram. It did work for God and Abraham because Abraham did, that wasn't something ordained already. That was something he had to do because God told him to do it. It wasn't something, it wasn't a custom or anything. So, these people, God did it different. He sent John the Baptist to prepare the way, and then he sent the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And God was finding out how many of these people still had the faith of Abraham. He was still approaching God on the basis of faith, not works. He was still approaching God on the basis of the shed blood of the Lamb. Because God had to sort out his, he had to purge his kingdom, see? The scripture makes it clear that by rejecting this Jesus Christ, God, the God of Abraham, manifest, they were moving out in the covenant because they weren't continuing on in the word of the God of Abraham. The same God, you see, that spoke to their father Abraham was speaking in Jesus. something that is really interesting, and that is that God is saying, now you've been born of Isaac, that's true. You are Abraham's seed, but you're not Abraham's children. Because, in other words, you're Abraham's seed, but you're not Abraham's seed. Or, you're Abraham's children, but you're not Abraham's children. In other words, God is saying, this covenant that I made with Abraham was that his seed would be my people, and I would be their God. And if they reject me, then they're saying, we don't want anything to do with that covenant. We don't want anything to do with that covenant. Look at Jeremiah 34, 18 and 19 to find out what God says about those who would do that. It has a definite allusion to Genesis 15. Jeremiah 34, 18 and 19. And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant, which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the paths thereof. The princes of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests and all the people of the land, which passed between the paths of the calf. I will even give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of them that seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be for meat under the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the earth. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes will I give into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of them that seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which are gone up from you. Behold, I will command, saith the Lord, and cause them to return to this city, and they shall fight against it, and take it, and burn it with fire, and I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without an inhabitant. So God told them what would happen if they rejected. You see, their history showed them that just because they were born of Abraham's seed, and their flesh came through Isaac, did not guarantee that they would approach God in the same way Abraham did. And that was the basis of the covenant, the way they approached God, by faith, because faith is accounted as righteousness. You can't, which can't be accounted as righteousness? Which can only be accounted as filthy rags? So, you didn't have any, you didn't have any righteousness before God except by faith. And that was the only basis upon which the children of Abraham could enter into that covenant. And they were responsible to teach their children how to approach God by faith. Otherwise, their children were as good as dead. Because they circumcised them the eighth day. And they said, now you're in the covenant of Abraham, like it or not. And if you don't obey it, you're going to be dead because you're going to stone anybody that the law says we stone them if they do this or this or this. And so if you don't do it, you're dead. Now, the heart of it began to be left out by the majority of the people. And they walked in it without knowing the heart of it. Galatians 3:24, which is in that same context of Galatians 3:16 and 17, tells us that the law of the schoolmaster set up to keep those people until that time of seed came, through whom they would enter and receive the full benefits of the covenant of Abraham. But you see, they missed out because they lost the heart of it, and they started doing the outward things and didn't take on the full heart that Abraham had towards God. So God cast those people off, Judah, and this is talking about Judah being cast off, Zedekiah, the king of Judah. And it talks about, we also know that Israel, the ten northern tribes, were cast off. So we can see from history the same thing happened in 70 AD. God said, this land here is the people who are born of Isaac, who walk in the face of the covenant of Abraham. You reject the God of Abraham. Therefore, this land screws you out. It did. And the Bible says that the land would not have them. Because that land, so to speak, you, who is given to. And it wouldn't have those people. And in other words, God allowed the enemies to come and take them away because they would not walk in that covenant, and that land was ordained to be lived in by Abraham's seed who would walk after the faith of Abraham, children of Abraham, by faith. Now let's look at what Nicodemus asked Jesus in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born from above, in the Greek, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Now, You can see here that a new requirement was set up for the sons of Abraham. Jesus was talking to a leader of the Jews. They wanted to be the children of Abraham, and they wanted to have all the covenant promises given unto Abraham's seed, and they desired to enter into it. But Jesus Christ is that stumbling stone that God put in the road to see. So, this stumbling stone, Jesus Christ, is put in their pathway. In order to continue on and to truly enter into Canaan, in other words, to get the eternal bit put in there, you know. In other words, they got to work out fine for the natural, but for this sort of let's work out when they're taught about the eternal inheritance and about the eternal covenant, about the eternal part of it. And they just sort of went for the, quote, loaves and fishes, you know. And they went for the natural blessings, but allowed themselves to miss out on the heart of the whole thing. And when they do that, they miss out on the whole thing too, really. Because a new covenant, but it wasn't disannulling the covenant of Abraham. There was a new road, a new and living road that they had to come and approach God by, in order to make sure, you see, nobody can come to God except the Spirit down. There's no way that you can be saved except God draw you and call you into salvation, and except the Spirit of God do it. It's a supernatural thing, and it's not something that you can dream up, you know? And that's what it was with Abraham. It had to be touched God by faith. It had to be something that is. He acted on by faith in the Word of God, not in his own. Okay, so Jesus said, except a man be born from above, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, they knew the kingdom of God belonged to Abraham's seed. That was like in their blood, they knew it. They were saying, under their skin and in their blood, they knew that the kingdom of God belonged to the children of Abraham. But Jesus said, you can't be the children of Abraham until you're born through the seed of Abraham. Me. It's about what he's saying, see? He's saying, you've got to be born from above. That's why I said all the time, Jesus came down from heaven. Because it was to show him that this is a higher thing. This was the greatest seed of Abraham through whom they could go. But if they didn't go through him, they lost the whole thing. So, this is who you have come to God by. Again, look at the 2 Corinthians 1:20, like we did it. It said, in him, all the promises of God are you and amen. The inheritance through Isaac is a corruptible inheritance. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:4. Let's tell you this alludes to this. But the inheritance that they received through Isaac was a corruptible inheritance. I said 1 Peter 1:4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now let's flip over here to verse 23 in the same chapter. Okay? 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, he that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is of grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass, and that includes Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all of the glory of that earthly inheritance, just like all the glory of everybody else's earthly inheritance, or earthly land, is as grass. And all the glory of man is a flower of grass, the grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel speaks unto you. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 tells us that the word of God that was preached unto them was that Jesus Christ died for their sins, shed his blood, and was raised from the dead. If that was the word of God preached unto them, that is the message that Jesus is bringing to Nicodemus, really, anticipatively. He's saying, you've got to come through me. I'm the kind of seed of Abraham. You've got to come through me, and if you don't come through me, you aren't the children of Abraham, fully. And here we are, coming through Jesus Christ, and we are now those adopted sons, who we've entered in through that seed of Abraham, and now we have all the promises applied to us, because we went through this one who, through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham. And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, in the King James. And in the Greek it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the declaration of Christ. So, we're born again, we're born from above, by incorruptible seed. And now, that's the gospel message. When it comes to our heart, and we believe on Jesus Christ, says in Romans, that if we confess with our lips the Lord Jesus, and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we should be saved. That is why we enter into the covenant of Abraham. And by, because the Jews turned away from it, God, well, even, I don't know, it might not have it, but God let the message go to the Gentiles. So we enter in, and we are two sons of Abraham. Two sons of Abraham. Now, admittedly, we're not looking for inheritance on earth, but guess what? Neither was Abraham. Paul tells us in the book of Hebrews. Okay. God's plan, Nicodemus was born into the promises and promises because he was the son of Abraham through Isaac. Nicodemus was all set up to receive the blessing, but God's plan was there'd be another group, and that was the greater seed of Abraham. If that seed of Abraham had to be entered through, the United Kingdom would really be a true son of Abraham in the first sense because of the dispensation. And if he'd been living, you know, backside without the same kind of life, it wouldn't be the same account. But at that time, they had to enter into this plan. Okay. The Jews rejected Jesus, the God of Abraham manifest. John 8:58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus told him that. They rejected the God of Abraham, and his covenant was with Abraham in the first place. So what is this going to happen if you reject the God of Abraham and set up the blessing? Christ is not going to guide you. You don't have any right to because you reject the one who's got the power to make them happen. And so they did not do all that God commanded, and they lost the blessing, and they were cut off. We already read this chapter, verse in Jeremiah 34. Blessing was the blessing that they were cut off from, the heart of it was eternal life. Eternal life in Jesus Christ. By his shed blood. And guess what? Abraham had that same power as because he, by faith, slew those animals and stepped before God and trusted God and obeyed him and God appeared to him as righteousness, knowing that he said that Jesus' blood would be shed. And so Abraham had the same eternal life. Acts 3:25. They were still of Abraham according to flesh, but if they wouldn't go through that greater seed, Jesus Christ, they weren't truly sons of Abraham in the heart. They were only circumcised outwardly. They only had the sign. They didn't have the faith that the sign was pointing to. Acts 3:25. The children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and thy seed shall all the kings of the earth be blessed. unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you.
And you know, see, all the things must be blessed. God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. Now, Peter, there's no question about it. You knew that Jesus was the food that they were going to be blessed with. So he turned away every one of you from his iniquity. So the blessing, God commanded the blessing. Psalms 133 tells us, God commanded the blessing, life forevermore. That was the blessing that he commanded, and it could only be had by waiting through the covenant of Sinai, by waiting until the fullness of the time in Galatians 4:4 and Jesus came, and it could only be had by then by faith, every year in time, going through that kind of seed of Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain, come to the way of Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The promises could only be had by looking forward to that by faith, even though we didn't see clearly and acting on it in that way, by faith, sacrificing and having a heart of repentance for God, knowing that the circumcision was only that was sown, not the covenant of Christ. And when he came then, the sheep were separated from the boat, and some, guess what? Some, many of these people rejected their inheritance, just like Esau did. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And God hated these people. And it's not a pretty picture to see what happened to him in the century following 70 AD, or what happened to him in 70 AD either. They rejected their inheritance. It's just like a 30-year-old child and the child grew up when he was 25 said, I'm going to change my name. And he went to the court and he got his name changed. How do you think you feel for that son? Now, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, God tells us that we are now acting as the sons of Abraham. And we now have a job to do. He says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Now that rest that he's happening, he was alluding to what the sons of Abraham through Isaac had done when they came to Canaan. They labored to enter into that land where they could rest. But they had to labor because there were enemies there and they had to drive them out. Joshua chapter 19 tells us what they were supposed to do. It lists the places, the times, and the boundaries that these tribes are supposed to take. You know what? That is what Jesus did for us. Joshua did it for them. He told them what to do. Jesus told us what to do in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. Let's look at Matthew 28 to see what Jesus told us to do. We are truly sons of Abraham. And this is true. Those who have been baptized and called on the name of Jesus, we are people who are inside of that inner faith. And we are just as responsible to God to do what he's told us to do as they were. And justice to the eternity was not greater than that for us if we don't enter in and take the land and do what he told us to do. Then the Lord himself was running away into Galilee, verse 16, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, the son of God. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He's the heir of Abraham. He's before Abraham was, but he's the heir of Abraham. God came through him in the world, and Jesus now had it. Then he therefore in true salvation. God told them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Let's look at Mark 16. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these things shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up in the heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Why do you think God gave Joshua and all people who came up in the kingdom the power to do what they were doing? Why did God give them that power? You know what? Because they said, we are Abraham's seed. We are children of Abraham. And because they really were, God said, I'll give you the power because I promised to Abraham that I'd do it. And the reason that we have the power to do what we can do through Jesus Christ is because we call on the name of Jesus. And we are sons of God through Jesus, the greatest son of the greatest seed of Abraham. And in that name are all these things done. In other words, they took payment in the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They took payment in the name of their father. That was why God gave them the power to take the land. That's why God backed up Joshua's ministry. That's why God backed up Moses' ministry. It's because of his promises to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, the father. That's why God backed us up, because we are calling on the name of Jesus. And we truly are born of him, of interrupting the truth, which is the gospel, that is us. And it's the born, it's not the unborn. All you can do is reject the inheritance. You can't get unborn. So, we've got a wonderful job ahead of us. And I think we need to take the attitude that Caleb took, and they went up in there and they just did everything that God told them to do. They didn't see this ahead back in Asia. And you'll notice that one side of the people do one thing, and the other side of the people do another thing. Only seems different than baptism and baby, or than the Pentecost Christian in 1900, and the rest of ministry is different than Bond ministry. Each one of us has a different part of the job to do. But in general, the job is take the land. And we mean by we take the spiritual inheritance which is ours. And when we issue it, and get that to status to manage the church. And that's what we can do in Jesus. See, it's an immutable thing. We've covenanted with God through Jesus Christ. We've got one church. That's to be the will of God. Otherwise, death. So, let's move in and do what God told us to do, and be obedient and trust him with all of our hearts, just as Abraham did. And fulfill what he wants for us and how he wants us to do it. Praise the Lord. God's able. Jesus Christ is your Father through the gospel. You are able to do it because of him. Joshua to do it because Abraham is his father. We can do it because their fathers were these men that God had covenanted with. We can do it. Abraham stood really between God and his children. Jesus stands between God and us. And we are able to do it. And it's all in him. It's not anything we do. It's all in him. But it's got to be done by us. But it's all from him. It's all from him. It's all the healing. It's all by grace. It's all from you. And all we can do is dish it out, so to speak. And then we will be walking in the faith of our father Abraham, and we will be heirs of the covenant, heirs of the promises, ready to be revealed in the last day. And we then are the sons of God, but we've got to do it in a full way with all of our hearts, and enter in and look to the Lamb of God and look to that Lamb who is standing to us in God and has given us his power. We're in him. It should be, quote, in our blood, in other words. We are in Jesus. And if anybody gets healed by somebody praying for him, it's going to be the people that pray in the name of Jesus who believe in Jesus. If anybody casts out demons, it's going to be the ones who know Jesus that can do it. As we see the seven sons of Judah. The people that know him and that know that they are healed and that it's a definite thing and that they know who they are and they know who their God is. And they knew who their father was. See, they knew. Tell me. Why do you think you could say, my gospel that I preach unto you? He knew that truth and he knew who his son was. He's the son of God. And if we're sons of God, then we are in that truth, see? Sons of God through the truth, Jesus Christ, the righteous, then we are that truth. And nobody can hear who's believed on Jesus Christ, then baptized into his name, as accepted him as our Lord and Savior, have called upon him can say they are it.
Yes.
Jesus said, he who ever calls on the name of the Lord, let him depart from iniquity. You called on the name is on you. They were circumcised after the eighth day. They were, quote, branded by the summit. That was on them. They couldn't get uncircumcised. And you can't get unsaved. You're saved, and you are sons of the covenant through Jesus Christ. And it is your duty to do what God said for you to do. And if you don't, it's too bad for us, you see. So, that's the heart that I want to say. And also, realize that as long as you do it, there is nothing to do for children. And if that's really, you have the victory. Joshua 1, I used to say that. So if you agree to do all that I command you, you shall have good success. Why? That's the only one that proves to anybody else. It's because God promised Abraham that his children would take the land. And so we are the same children within God. It's not because anything is done. Jesus is the name he's called upon. He's the Son of God. It's in him that the spiritual inheritance is being taken. And so we've got the right, we've got the power, and if we don't do it, it's awful. And we're up, and in all the people in my mind, and we took in the first place, if you're a father, and you tell the son, son, move around, and turns out the first half of the time, you're at that one night in the race by the time I get home. And you come home, he said, well, I told the man there, but, you know, I'm going to have done, and, you know, and teach the teachers, and so the dad says, well, send it first. Now, notice, the son didn't say, Dad, the little boy didn't do it. The little boy didn't do it. The little boy didn't do it. The son of his father, and his father was told, you need to be the God, and if you need to be the God, he is the one who's going to get spared. Not the leadership. The leadership is not the leadership alone. It's his God's role, and he's the son of his father, and he's supposed to be the God. He's got the same name as his father. So you call him that name, you have been adopted into that family of God. And so let's move along. Praise the Lord. Let's turn and sing 278 again. Praise the Lord. Let's just sing one, the first verse and the last verse. And all whom I have believed. Hallelujah. And if the kid had any trouble, man, the land, it said, and if the kid had any trouble, man, the land, it said, just, you know, ask his God how to do it, you know, tell him up, find out how to do it. This is what it is with us. He's got any trouble. God, I went up and I prayed for this guy, and Lord Jesus, I prayed for this person, and I prayed that they'd be healed in your name. Lord, and if you took them diligently, so I want to do the eternal, and then do the eternal, I refuse to be a disobedient child, I will. And if you went in and took that out of their heart, if they're parties and both sides in certain areas, then God will give us the understanding, he'll give us the power, because he knows our heart's right, and he knows that we want to be with God, that we're just hungry. And he knows we're 3 or 4 or 5, and he knows there's nothing to do gigantic big God, but he gives somebody 17, see? He asks his 22-year-old son sometimes in college to paint the house. He doesn't ask his 5-year-old kid. So that's the kind of thing that he knows. God knows you, he's asking you to do something that you can't do. That's what he's talking about. He's the Lord.